Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Georgia Jones and I'm your host for this week. So this week I want everybody to do a big old cheers for me because I have finally got to the end of my solo parenting stint. Danny, my husband, will be back from tour and I'm going to be handing the parenting duties over to him. I think I'm going to take myself off for like a retreat for a week. That's wishful thinking. Today's guests are Ollie and Gareth Locke. Ollie is a TV personality who is most well known for his time on Made in Chelsea and Celebrity Big Brother. And Gareth was commercial director of tweed fashion brand Holland Cooper. They are a lovely husband and husband duo. And together they run a podcast called Newly Dad, so go give it a listen. Their struggle when it came to a surrogate birth was well documented on Made in Chelsea. However, they have now become daddies to twins thanks to surrogate mother Rebecca Ward. Welcome to the podcast. So today's guests are Ollie and Gareth Locke. Welcome, boys.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for having us.
So Gareth and Ollie have two little babies, twins. Cosmic. I can't, what is wrong with me? Do you know, I did this podcast the other day with Kelsey, who is one of the presenters, and I kept calling her Chelsea.
I understand, I've done that.
I think it's just this level of exhaustion I'm at the moment because obviously I'm solo parenting.
That is Mum's the Word though, that's about it, isn't it? That's something people don't talk about it, but you do, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Being a parent is exhausting.
It's okay to be exhausted as well.
Do daddies get like brain fog like mummies do? Because obviously, you know, we've had the hormones. So I didn't know whether it was like a hormone thing or whether it's just a exhaustion thing.
Do you know what? I felt really bad about saying this, but like baby brain, when you're in it and you get like sleep deprivation and everything, of course you get that because you're just exhausted.
Yeah.
Like there is being, when they were first born, we were feeding them every 2 hours. So you're waking up throughout the night. We've got twins, obviously, and both of us have to wake up because we're doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
So the sleep deprivation, I think, you know, beyond obviously women when they go through pregnancy and give birth, like the hormones and everything, yep, throws you out of whack. But just the general exhaustion of actually just having a newborn baby. So I think it's completely fair.
Obviously, we didn't get paternity or maternity or whatever like that because that's just not a part of our job. We're all freelancers. We all work for each other and ourselves. And the difficulty with that is that we were filming the day after we came back from NICU and we haven't stopped working since. So we haven't had any time whatsoever to kind of actually just chill. And when you do chill, sounds awful, doesn't it? But you want a glass of wine.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so you end up with a hangover and you're like, oh, God, for fuck's sake, this isn't great.
Well, I know it's a constant battle of, I want to try and enjoy myself when I can have that glass of wine, but also I've got to parent. Also, I've got to work and I'm knackered. And it's just that constant, like, vicious circle, isn't it?
There was a couple of days, wasn't there, when I was like, we looked at ourselves, I think, we were like, I look disgusting. I was like, I haven't put any fake tan on. My beard looks absurd. My hair was disgusting. It was all grey. And I was like, we need literally a day of just a bit of TLC.
Self-care.
Because I look dreadful.
Yeah. Do you know, you don't realise how important those self-care days are when you become a parent. Like, literally just putting a bit of fake tan on and like Oh, shaving your, well, not
shaving your bits.
I mean, shaving your bits. Yeah, I mean, I think you have some bits of shaving, right?
I actually eat mine. No, well, it's kind of you look at your partner or you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, right, I've just had kids, but I do still have a partner. So you've kind of got to be like, I do still need to make an effort.
Mm.
It's such a big thing because basically, like, nothing will ever prepare you for your first child because basically your life is this.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the baby's born and it's there and you have to be responsible. And then the man normally comes in and then suddenly they're responsible. Like it's suddenly such this big change to like your schedule in life and nothing will pay for that because you're basically like there's this other human that is you're completely responsible for.
Oh, absolutely. And
which makes no sense to me whatsoever because we're meant to be the most intelligent creatures on the planet. And yet it takes us 3 years to end up walking and talking.
I know the answer to this.
I know the answer to this. You do love researching,
I do love knowing point. So basically, because of the way that we're formed, because people's hips, where they walk upright, they've got narrower, babies have to be born basically premature. If a human was to carry a baby to the extent where it could come out and walk like a normal animal, it would be 2 years gestation, but you can't have that. So they're born with like all the skull and different bits and whatever, and they take longer to develop. So the brain develops outside the body more than it develops inside the body.
For someone that's had a baby inside you, what do you think about 2 years gestation?
Well, I don't think I'd have a fanny left for a start, and also I'd have extreme internal injuries.
I mean, you'd be in real trouble. How big was Cooper when he was born? Anyway,
he was quite big. He was nearly 8 pounds.
Well, there you go.
Do you not remember the fun fact of when Cooper came out? I told you, didn't I? How he dived out.
Yeah,
I've never said this on a podcast.
Oh
before.
My god, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, but I don't mind saying it. The world might quite like this fun fact.
There you go.
Do you remember it?
I know exactly what you're about.
So when Cooper came out, for anyone that doesn't know, and I do like to tell people this because I find it quite funny. When Cooper came out, you know how babies are born? Did Cosmo and Apollo have long nails when they
long-ish,
came out?
Longish, yeah, certainly.
And Cooper did have quite long nails. And he came out and he hooked his finger onto my clitoris and tore it. I had to have my clitoris stitched.
My favourite thing about this is one day I'm really excited to discuss with Cooper the fact that he once accidentally played his mum's clitoris. It's just the most horrific of things.
God. No, please, please. Oh, no, I need to take this back now because one day he might listen to this podcast and like...
It's amazing.
No, God, you should listen to our podcast.
This is when Cooper's got to be bullied.
It's
you know
fine.
Your mum's clit, right?
Both parents are in the entertainment industry. What's he expect? Like, everything's going to be a bit mental anyway.
I know, I did say that. There's only a certain amount of time we're going to be able to do this. There's only a certain amount of time Cooper is going to agree to be in, like, photos with me and I have no choice.
Mind you, I did see that video the other day of Danny with him on stage on his shoulders.
Cute.
And it's just the cutest thing in the world. It does make you really go, that's the cutest thing in the entire world ever.
No.
And I think JLS then stole the idea and brought their kids on. I saw a couple days later.
Totally copied.
Yeah. So they're not as cool. It's fine. It's not as cool. It's not as rock and roll. Asking that question to other people about the tearing thing.
Yeah.
Is it a common thing or are you just a one-off?
No, it was quite unusual, I think. Yeah, they said it was a graze, which is what they call it. If you have like a little tear that needs stitches, they call them grazes. I was like, this is not a graze. It's not damaged it.
I was going to say, you actually had to, at that point, they would have had to have sewn...
They stitched my clitoris.
Were they dissolvable stitches?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
From what I remember.
Thing.
I mean, it was half crushed down there, so I have no idea what went on. It's not now. Little do people realise, it does pretty much like look as it was, but after quite a while, it swells, you know? Like, these are the things you guys will never see.
I bet it does. Yes,
you've seen fannies.
Back in day.
Yeah, many.
But, I mean... many.
Eight in real life.
There might be, what, eight?
Yeah, eight really? In real life, yeah. Wow.
That's a good number, actually.
Well, not as high as his, but there you go.
Was that a little dig?
No, I was just fucking beautiful when I was young.
I think you've seen more.
And I wasn't.
No, I was impeccable.
You still are beautiful, both of you. I was saying this, they're looking fabulous at the moment. Don't know what your trick is, but I'd like some of it, please.
Nannies.
Like, I'm going to get a full facelift.
Full-time help and some Botox.
Yeah.
And you've had loads of Botox, haven't you?
A couple of weeks ago I did, because I looked at myself and I was like, I look homeless.
I actually...
I look like I live under a bridge.
What are your thoughts on, like, aging? I know this is a bit off topic, but, like... Do it disgracefully, would you say?
There's two things to it. One, it's just general health and well-being. So like hydration, like collagen, whatever. Just so that you age slower. I'm not one for like thinking I'm going to get a facelift one day. But no. I do like basic. You're not. You thought I was.
No, I don't know. I don't think you need to. I just mean, I would have thought you would have gone. At the moment. Oh my God, don't. Like, honestly, my jowls, I can't even. Let's not look at them because I know you two are just going to look at them now for the rest of the podcast.
I'm more about preservation.
Yeah.
You know, not like Botox or like looking like full-on Kenny Rogers sort of style. I'm thinking like, you know, look good.
As a man, you've got to be slightly careful because if you go down that route too quickly, too soon, you can look really puffy. And I think a lot of guys thought they lose their collagen, then they puff up a bit, and then you end up starting like Zac Efron from Photos the other day.
Well, apparently he's broke his jaw.
No, is it? He came out and said
I just
not.
Think that's bollocks.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, it's all been done, yeah. But it's not very good work. They puffed him up, and you can't look puffy.
It was because he started filming again after that. So basically, it now looks a lot better because it's a bit like Madonna before the tour she's just done. She just had a load of work done.
Yeah.
And then it was a facelift. And basically now when she's on stage, she actually looks incredible.
Right now,
but it was just,
like...
it was a lot because she went back in the public eye too quickly. Not that that's a bad thing. Do what you want.
But yes, I will be having work and I will continue to do that. I've had my first Botox ever at 24, I believe I was. And I remember the exact date almost. And it's quite a morose way to remember this. But I remember getting the notification that Peaches Geldof had died as soon as that's how long ago it was. But I was having my face injection while reading that. And that was the first ever time I had it done. And I was 24 years old.
Oh.
And it was preventative at that point. And actually, I don't think I look nearly 70. I think I look all right.
I don't look like I'm in my late 50s.
Yeah.
How old are you both, by the way?
I'm 37 in March.
Are you?
No. I'm 34.
You're 34. Wow. Oh.
I am a baby.
Me and Gareth, fun fact, are birthday twins, aren't we?
We are birthday twins. 6th
of December.
That's so weird, isn't it? What are we doing for our birthday?
Oh, I don't...
We should do something together.
Our management Christmas party.
Oh, yeah, that's the 7th.
Oh, yeah, we'll be attending our management Christmas party slightly hungover, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Right, going back to parenting.
Yes.
This is what we're here to talk about. So, obviously, you guys are together. You are married. You are husband and husband. And because of that, there was no natural way to conceive.
Yeah, we shagged so much. And it was that really
it just wasn't working.
Thing.
Nothing
just
was happening.
Nothing happened, yeah.
Nothing happened.
His eggs weren't being released.
Like, how did you even decide what route to go down? Because obviously there's so many different paths you can travel. What was the conversation you had to start off with?
I think basically it started, I had always been open to the idea of having kids, and I can't remember, were we married at this time or engaged?
We're engaged
at the time. And we'd spent the afternoon with Binky and India, and Ollie after that I think suddenly got his head around the idea of having kids and then having that in his life, because he's always thought kids weren't really on the cards for him, and for numerous reasons. After seeing that and sort of different dynamic shift, he then turned around to me and was like, look, I'm actually open to doing this. And it was, I'd sort of parked the idea, and it wasn't, I was like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And then we sort of went down the route, and then we sort of talked about the options, adoption or going down the route of IVF, and sort of being open to all of them. But actually, when you look at it, things like adoption are so difficult. We spoke to a few people that had done it, and they'd gone all the way to the end and been down this road for like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they've turned around and they're like, right, the kid you thought you were getting, you're no longer getting. And then they start the process over again.
Elton John famously went through it with two of the kids that he tried to adopt from Africa. And the press got hold of the fact that they were adopting these two children. And the mother turned around and said, no, I want to keep them there. And so, because if it's Elton John, kind of thing, so the woman kept after this whole process. Elton John has still looked after those kids forever and has put them through education and still close with them. But he blames the press for not having his children. Like, he went through the surrogacy route at the end. But obviously, he'd completely fallen in love with these children and spent a lot of time with them. And then the press got hold of it. And
it's such a process, isn't it? Like, you have no idea. When you hear about, like, people adopting children, you just think, oh, it probably takes, like, a year max. But it isn't the case at all. And there's so much that goes into it. And it's a bloody long process.
One of our friends turned around and said, well, why are you doing IVF? Why didn't you adopt? And this is my friend who's got two other biological children. I was like, well, you've just had another kid. Why didn't you adopt? And he's like, because I can have kids normally. And I was like, well, we can have kids now.
Yeah.
No, I can have kids naturally. And I was like, well, we can have kids naturally as well through IVF.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of like, you just don't sort of look at the entire picture. And I mean, there's loads of ups and downs to everything you do. But like, so we did IVF, and it took nearly 4 years. It was hell.
So how did you find, because Bex, Rebecca, but you call her Bex, don't you? Yeah, Bex. Yeah. She was the lovely lady that carried the babies for you, wasn't she? How did you even go about like finding her? How does that process even begin?
We were lucky. In Britain, it's not the easiest situation because the laws are quite archaic and they're quite difficult, and they just need renewing, basically. I've talked about it quite a lot. But we happened to be on Maiden Chelsea talking about the fact that we were going to go through this journey, and she DM'd us.
Did she?
And we had quite a few DMs, and we spoke to different people, and it ended up that Bex, we had had a surrogate before, which who had DM'd us as well, but after a couple of failed attempts, we were advised by a doctor to maybe... just try someone else just in case it was a problem. Anyway, luckily Bex had messaged us and we spoke to her. There's a lot of tests you have to go through, a lot of psychology bits. There's
counselling,
all sorts of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Legally, yeah.
And, right.
With her, sensibly.
Or
yeah,
like
yeah.
All
with
stuff,
her
yeah,
and
with
her family, basically, yeah. as well, like her partner,
etc. Yeah, she's got children, hasn't she?
She does, yeah.
To be a surrogate in the UK legally, you have to have had children. So it basically, you can understand what it is going to be, even though it's not her egg and basically we put an embryo in her that nothing DNA-wise to do with her.
Okay.
They have to understand, you know, you're going to go through this process. You have to have understood what it is to have a child. And then we do all the counselling with her because you're going through this thing together. Like she carried our child for best part of 7 months. They were premature, but best part of 7 months, you know, that's a long time. And it's there, which is with them the entire time. So you have to understand the gravity of what it is that you're going through.
And it's not just her, it's her family. It's her her sons, her partner, her everything that has to deal with everything when we're not there.
Yeah, with a very pregnant woman.
And lots of hormones going everywhere.
Hormones,
and the fact that she is not keeping the child at the end, even though it's not biologically her, that there's obviously a sentimentality when it comes to you carrying the baby, and she has to be physically and mentally prepared that that baby will be given to someone else.
Yeah, of course.
That you've grown. But I spoke to her this morning even. I speak to her a lot.
Yeah, I've met her actually, haven't I?
You've met her,
yeah.
She is lovely, and she's coming down in a couple of weeks and we'll spend some time with her, and it's important.
And is she going to stay quite in the baby's lives then?
Yeah, she'll be Auntie Bex.
Auntie Bex.
And her kids are like cousins then, essentially.
Oh, that's...
So it's really sweet.
I love that.
Well, you remember they were all born in the same tummy.
Yeah. So when you're saying, so what happens? I'm confused. So can you explain?
So you go to an egg bank.
Yeah.
And you go through profiles and whatever.
Right. So you kind of choose.
You're
not allowed to see their face.
Right.
You can see the colour of their hair, whatever, their build, etc. But it's one of those things in the UK where there's this sort of fine line between them over commercialising it and making it too accessible and a few sort of red flags for them. So one of the big things they don't allow you to do is see the face because they kind of just want to probably make it a bit more difficult and a bit more of a sort of choice to do.
But if you're a lesbian couple, you can see the sperm donor.
Or even if you don't have to be lesbian, you can be anyone getting sperm.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you can see the sperm donor, but you can't see the
egg donor.
Correct, yeah.
Which is complete inequality in sexism.
I was going to say, that's completely flawed, right?
It's completely flawed.
Do you know, it's so interesting though, because people that aren't going through this process have no idea about this.
It's not talked about as much.
No.
Because it is still, and I tell you why it's not talked about, is because it is so incredibly expensive and the NHS won't do it.
Yeah.
For if you are a male gay couple in Britain going through this, you won't be able to do it in the NHS. You're not allowed to. They say, well, you can make the embryos. We can do that for you. That's fine. But you're not allowed to use a surrogate, so there's nowhere to put it. There's nowhere to grow the embryo.
Wow.
And so you have to spend money. So if you're a low-income family in Britain and you are married to a man and it is exciting and wonderful and you want a family, I'm afraid you're at the end of the road.
Gay couples that go through this IVF thing, and like bearing in mind it took us a while to do, so obviously your motivation is you want these kids so much and you've got so much love in your life that you want to have children. And actually, we met a couple, Rob and Seb, the other day, who've got two wonderful sons, both 8 years old, both twins, from IVF. And you meet the children of people who've gone through IVF, and it is such a long process, even if it's down to male-female, like infertility thing. It is such a conscious process that is a lot of heartache along the way, that when you get those kids, you love them so much and you put so much into them, that these kids are actually really exceptional. Like, they're really interesting to talk to. Obviously, their parents give them loads of time because they love them so much and they've wanted them so much. So for me, even like there's this toss-up because obviously NHS, like doing gay surrogacy, is it going to cost too much, etc., whatever. However, you've got these two parents that want kids so much and are going to give so much love to a kid. How can you not allow something like that?
Oh, absolutely. But obviously you give so much to that kid, but does that make it quite difficult when you are having a bad day, or like you're just exhausted and you're like, oh, the babies won't stop crying and this and that? Do you ever feel like that guilt of then complaining because you've put so much into it?
I don't think anyone can. Yeah. I think all parents, like I always said this the other day on our podcast, I was like, I look at them at 4 a.m. after I've not had any sleep and I just think, what have I done?
Oh my god, I went through that phase. You step out of it.
But every parent gets there.
Yeah.
Like every parent, like regardless how, like anyone, like, the fact you get, like you, normal birth, you're carrying a baby for 9 months, you can look at your baby and be like, I hate you in this moment right now. However, I do love you. But like it's we're human, it's natural. You can't, it's not all sunshine and roses, is it?
No, of course it's not. And it's so funny. Someone was talking to me the other day about like what we go through as parents. It's actually not normal for us to go through that much kind of like stress and exhaustion and learning something new and keeping something alive. Like it's all brand new. We are doing it for the first time. Like we do not know what we're doing. And it's like so much on us. And we don't have a manual. I mean, there's books, but like, you know, every kid's different. Like, do you find like both?
They're completely different.
Completely different.
He's so basically any little discomfort, he would absolutely hate changing his nappy. If I put a wet wipe on his cheek to wipe some milk off, whatever, he would cry. He's only just stopped doing that, and now he's smiley, happy, whatever. And like, I'd bath him miserable for 2 seconds, then stops crying, looks at me, and is like, okay, we'll deal with this. And now he's actually just starting to become a bit more of a happy baby, whereas she has been stoic as hell throughout the entire thing.
Do you know, I noticed Cosmo was like the chilled one. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, when I was round at your guys, she was, she was the one that just laid there. She was just like, yeah, whatever. Like,
she's chilled. But also, she had to fight so hard because she was born at 2 pounds 11. She was tiny.
He took all the nutrients.
Not only took the nutrients, he wanted to come out.
Such a bloke. Yeah.
She was not ready to come out. She was. She looked like an alien. He was this little Zoolander prince, and
he looked like a lip filler.
Did he? Oh my god! Stop.
A stunning little baby, and I love you, Cosy, so much. And you're so pretty now, but you were the ugliest thing I've ever
he
seen.
He looked like a roast chicken in a bag.
It was just horrendous. But she's really pretty now. We were slightly concerned at the beginning because she had no fat on her. There was nothing. She was not ready to come out.
Just like a little baby bird.
He wants to join the party
soon.
He was
ready. Yeah.
It's funny because it's World Premature Day the other day, wasn't it? And then there was so much stuff on social where you could see other people that have had kids, and it literally like takes you back to it. And I was looking at the photos this morning in our bathroom, which actually, because they were the first photos we had of the kids. So as soon as we got back from NICU, we'd had these like framed up, and I was looking and I've got like the little like tube in the nose and stuff like that. I was like, do we need to change these now? Because you sort of forget how quickly they grow. Because now, like Cosy's actually probably the prettier one now.
Hello, my name is Mark Thompson, your guide aboard the Constellation Station podcast. Tune in every Monday for your weekly guide to all things going on in the skies above the UK that week. From meteor showers to comets and eclipses to supernova explosions, I will have it all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts from. But until then, let's hope for some clear skies.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
They'll keep changing though. Yeah. Like, it's mad how, like, Cooper's just had his new school photos done. I was like, it's literally looked like he's been taken and just stretched, because now he's got a neck, whereas before there was no neck. This poor little kid He was just a head on his shoulders, and now he's like turning into this gorgeous
You've
little like...
You've got quite giraffe-y neck.
Have I? I always feel like I've got no neck, because whenever I put a pole neck jumper on, I feel like it instantly gives me a double chin.
I disagree.
Maybe I've just got a double chin.
I think maybe that's sort of... It's a normal song.
You've got a long neck.
I think you've got a long neck. I think you've got quite elegant
yeah,
neck.
Yeah, you've got your very, very, very good neck. Hey, so, how can you... Yeah, you
got,
do
I
have
don't
a long
neck. Danny's got a particularly big neck. I'm
no,
trying to think.
Yeah,
he's
maybe,
got quite a wide
neck. Maybe it's Danny. Danny's got a short neck.
Short neck.
Do you have a thing with necks? Because you think your son had a short neck.
Do I
think you've got a short neck?
Oh my god, maybe I've
are
got
you,
a complex.
You're like a neckist.
I've got a complex.
But
with
the
my
fact
neck.
Is, you have you ever since I've known you, you've always you always pick bits like that of your own body
oh,
or whatever
do
like
I?
That. That you think yes.
Oh god.
Which I think is quite funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, and also extremely insecure. Considering I was a model for a lot of my
well,
life.
You were almost Miss World, weren't you?
I mean, I wasn't Miss World, get lost.
Well, no, but
I
no,
was Miss
no,
England.
Miss England, yeah. And you went into the Miss World
competition. I did go into Miss World.
And what's our nickname for Georgia?
Mess World.
Mess World.
Mess World, because I'm a bit of a mess yeah. a lot of the time. I'll take it. I'm
I think that's
worse.
Really cute.
I'm
Mess World.
Going back to the surrogacy and the egg. How long were they in NICU for?
5 weeks.
5 weeks, yeah.
Five, oh, that's a long time, isn't it? Was it up north or was it...
It was 3 weeks up north, two weeks in London.
Yeah, right. They were born in Durham and then and then they were moved to Sunderland.
Do you know, it all makes sense because I remember a while back I said to you, I think it was you, Gareth, you'd put like a question box on Instagram and you were like, ask me anything. So I messaged and said, who's your favourite northerner? Oh, am I your favourite northerner? And your answer wasn't quite what I wanted.
I know.
I realised a little bit later on that actually Bex is northern. So yeah. I was like, okay, fine. Okay, she can maybe take the top title. No problem.
Yeah, we love her very much. You're a close second.
You're a close second. I do remember that PASAG message off you.
Yeah, I bet you're like, how do I answer this diplomatically? Yeah. I can't say she is. There's a woman carrying my children and you're not it. When you found out it was twins, were you like, oh shit? Or were you like, brilliant?
Do you know what? At the time, I cried. I was like, and actually,
happy tears,
yeah, 100%. Because we were away and Ollie waited back at the chalet and I'd gone off on my own just to get my head like clear because we were waiting to get these results. It was a 6 week scan. And then I remember getting the call from Oles and he said, yep, there's a baby. And I was like, oh my God, and there's a heartbeat. And I was like, okay. And then in my head, I was like, oh, there's not two. And I was a bit like, oh, maybe I did want two. And I was like, okay, so just one. He goes, no, it's twins. And I literally was like, my heart like flipped. I was it's ecstatic.
Did it? It's funny when it gets taken away from you, you realise that you want it.
Mm.
It's like in Friends. That's a funny little game. That's a dangerous little game. You know, yeah. Phoebe pretends that she wasn't pregnant. It was very exciting, and that is exciting because you know that you've waited for so long and suddenly two come along, which is amazing. Mm. You don't quite understand the magnitude of what two babies at the same time is like.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's two of everything as well. What? Physically,
I mean,
the amount of kids crap in our house drives me nuts.
Honestly, like... I feel like every single person that is expecting a child or children says the same thing. No, our house won't be full of all that bright plastic stuff and it's just going to be minimal and it'll still be clean. And then you have the babies and then you're like, oh, okay, it's impossible, like completely.
We are going to try and stick to wooden.
Wooden toys.
That will not happen.
I honestly...
Impossible. Right, okay, I'll see you in 6 months,
You're
yeah?
just going to buy a plastic toy for our kid, aren't you? That's what's going to happen.
That's what George is going to do.
I'm going to buy a jumperoo, which is the noisiest, most hideous, but wonderful thing.
Is that the thing that it's goes baby. On the...
You just put them in it, and they just jump up and down.
It's like bright yellow.
It's every single colour you could wish for.
Is this Baby Bjorn or something? No.
There is a brand that do a very nice neutral
it's
one.
Wooden. Well, and they're on Dragon's Den, aren't they?
See.
I have seen it.
Yeah,
I saw, and it looks very good. I've actually just followed them on Instagram.
Hashtag. If they get to, I would say, three, and your house is not full of hideously coloured plastic shit, I will eat my words. I'll take you both for dinner.
Well, good.
And I'll buy you the most expensive thing on the menu.
Done. Deal that.
But you have to do it for me if you do have plastic stuff.
Deal.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Right.
Fine.
Done. Understood.
I bought my niece and nephew a toy from Harrods that they both chose and came back to the house with it. And one was this plastic thing that basically spat balls up in the air and and Oliver went ballistic at me.
I'm not surprised. Or if anyone buys any child an instrument, you know that person secretly hates you.
Do you know I learned the trick to this the other day, right? Electric piano with headphones.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Cooper does have an electric guitar with headphones, but they prefer to hear it out loud. There's not much you can do about it.
Is Coops learning any instruments?
Well,
Has he got mum's instrumental value or is he or ability?
Listen,
or
has he? He's got my fine singing voice. That's all you need to know.
Fine. Lucky Coops.
Yeah, lucky Cooper. We didn't want to push him. So I think what we've done is gone the opposite way and not push him in the slightest. So now he's not bothered, which has kind of backfired on Danny more than me.
Fine.
But I've said to Danny, this is your domain. If you want Cooper to learn an instrument, you need to like sort out the lessons. And I don't know the first thing about music.
Fine.
You know, that's Danny's thing. So
yeah, that's true.
If you're listening to the podcast, darling, which I don't think he does, then could you get Cooper some lessons? That'd be great.
I think that's a lovely idea. Now, I wasn't particularly musical when it came to instruments. I could sing.
You played the violin?
Yeah, for like a week.
Do you know the audacity of this? He learnt it for a week and then he went busking.
Oh.
So how desperate were you?
I like your confidence.
Not very good at busking.
No,
either.
No. What did you make?
Oh, not pennies. Tempe. But yeah, literally. Well, it was at school I was busking and it was for tempe chips so I could ring my mother.
Oh,
that really breaks the heartstrings, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
breaks my heart.
The fact that his mum wasn't giving him the money to begin with in order to have the call is
But you had to knock on the staff room door and say, excuse me, please, may I please have 10p so I could call mum? And they used to give you 10p and then put it on the bill. And then you used to go there and you just put the 10p in the thing and then call mum and you probably got about 2 minutes to speak to mum.
But it sounds a bit like prison.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Boarding school, isn't it? not far off.
Boarding school for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was also, we're talking 25 years ago.
35 years
no, ago. No, 25 years ago. 25, 35. No, it was longer than that.
Imagine how much it costs to call your mum now.
Well, I know. It's free. Unlimited contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Unlimited data.
So I'll get you one call.
Oh, my God. Don't. We were talking about this before. We were talking about how we're going to be speaking to our kids and saying, we didn't have internet.
I had internet.
I didn't have internet.
Oh, okay, you
no.
Two. I'm younger than you both.
That actually hurt a bit.
I'd dial up.
I didn't.
Yeah, we were talking about dial-up. No phone. Did you have a phone?
Okay, so I've had the same number since I was 9 on contract.
Wow.
Can we just discuss the fact that I've said this a million times before, Gareth was a spoilt
man. No, I wasn't at all.
Oh my gosh. Are you going to send the kids to, do you reckon you'll send the kids to like
it depends
boarding
how exhausted
school?
We are.
Yeah, it depends how well behaved
I
are.
Quite like the idea of it from 13 because it taught me a lot, but weekly boarding, they come
yeah,
every week.
Yeah,
so
they come home.
I would not be able to see them.
I would like to choose a school that didn't do Saturday school if possible, because I did Saturday school all of my life. And then on Saturday afternoons, I would then go to Stagecoach.
Wow.
And then Sunday mornings, I would go to church with mum, have a roast dinner and go straight back to school. So I never had a time to my own.
Yeah, that's not much time just to be like a child. You know, and just like do like digging in the dirt or something.
Didn't have time for it.
Not time to dig in the dirt. Is there anything, like, did you feel kind of ready going in? Or do you reckon like we...
I think the biggest tool we had was those 5 weeks in NICU, because we learned from like experts, like pediatric nurses, like maternity nurses, who were like teaching us how to change nappies like in an incubator and like showing us like, you know, you need X amount of milk, 165 mils per kilo for a child over a day, and you divide it down. Like, it was that, because actually we hadn't done any of the NCT classes, because we thought we were going to be doing them for the 6 weeks leading up to the birth.
Oh, right, of course.
And so we were sort of green on it. And I'm so stubborn that basically I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I like either Google it or
that's the Sagittarius in us.
I'm not such a Sag.
Which is why also we don't have any baby friends.
Yeah.
So we don't have a
we've got
like
Binky.
A group. We've got Binky, but Binky's the hardest person in the world to get hold of.
Do you know what? Actually, the other day we were with her and I was like, you know when like a friend of yours has a baby and you don't have a baby and suddenly you never see them again?
Yeah, you get excluded.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be that person. Yeah. And then I was with Binky the other day and I was like, oh, actually, I'm becoming this person. Like, I actually, it's so convenient to have baby friends.
I guess it's because they understand. Because I remember like when my sister had babies and I didn't, I remember thinking like, how can she not have a conversation for 5 minutes with me instead of running off with her kid, or, you know? And I was quite selfish still at that point, because I feel like you can't be quite as selfish when you have a kid, can you? Like, you've got to like give a bit more.
I must say, there is one thing, and I'll see if you agree to this, but we have used the kids as an excuse every now and again, either because we're just a bit tired or we're like, oh, we can't do that, the kids aren't very well or something. Like, we have
don't give away secrets.
A handful of times.
We're talking to a lot of parents right now, yeah. And I'm sure you've done the same thing.
And actually, do you know what it is? It's I sort of just want to be at home, my own company and stuff like that. And I turn around and been like, so like if someone rings me, I'll be like, oh, I can't talk to you right now. The kids are playing up. When actually, I just want to sit in a quiet room and cry.
Yeah.
I have the time, but I just don't want to. Yeah. I just want to be quiet.
I want to be on my own for a minute, rock in the corner.
I want to just enjoy the silence of the humming of the washing machine in the laundry room.
If somebody says they've not used their kid to get out of something, then they are lying.
100%.
The only problem is when they get older and understand that you're not meant to lie. So I've been called out from Cooper before because I've said to somebody, oh no, I'm really sorry, we can't come to that because whatever. And Cooper's gone, no, we're not, mummy. And I'm like, sure. And then we got home and he was like, mummy, you're not meant to lie. That's really naughty. And I'm like, yeah. I might not be getting any presents from Father Christmas then. Like, they start calling you out. Cooper's can, like, read a bit now as well. So, like, there's this whole lie that you tell when the kids get a bit older of, oh, we can't go to that park because it's closed. It says it's closed. But they don't know. They can't tell whether it says closed on the park.
Now he's reading.
Now he can read.
Open till 6
o'clock. But, and you can't lie to them anymore. And you can't tell them these things.
I feel a bit bad for Cooper. How much are you not taking to the park? Mummy, can we go to the park? No, once my coffee, we're going home.
Yeah, no, we're not going to the park. Oh, God, I hate parks, though, because you can't relax.
Can I tell you my problem? I've got a couple of things about being a father that is really bumming me out. In the future.
Yeah, go on.
Aeroplane lose is one thing.
What, trying to change a nappy in there?
Haven't even thought about that, but the thing does flip down.
Yeah, it does, but I mean, you've probably got about a millimetre of breathing space.
It is. I think aeroplane loos are the most revolting thing. I'm the one that spends quite a lot of time in an aeroplane loo purely because I won't touch anything, full stop.
Oh, so you like sanitising before you
even... I don't even sanitise. I just don't touch. I will do everything I possibly can, but foot to... open everything, lock everything. I mean, all the tissue rolls get whatever like that. The idea of putting my daughter on that loo to go for a wee makes me want to cry. Like, it's so filthy and everyone pisses all over them. If you've got turbulence, piss everywhere.
Yeah.
It's revolting.
Yeah.
And someone's always done a skiddy.
Oh, you know what I mean? Always.
You end up having to wee off the...
I would say a service station is worse.
Disabled loo, no? Always.
Because... Everyone, even though they shouldn't, goes to disabled loos. Parent parking, though, is like the best.
Oh, I can imagine that. Yeah, baby parking.
I'm like, what's the age cutoff here?
No one polices them anyway. And then also, this is me being a bit more impetuous when you're younger. However, like, you go and you're like, no, I'm picking a kid up.
Yeah. Like, I've just dropped them off.
Or I have a kid, I've just dropped them off at school. Yeah,
well, I do actually police them. I am that person.
You're the Karen.
Like, yeah.
I kind of love that.
Do you know what? I am a little bit. I have been told off so many times for being that person because I hate injustice. And you know when you see something, I'm like, how dare they? I'm going to go and say something. I'm going to be that embarrassing mum. And Cooper's going to be like, oh my God, mum, just leave it, please. My dad was exactly the same. I remember we used to chase people around in the car if ever we saw like a kid doing something wrong. And I would just have to sink into my seat and be like, Dad, they're from my school. Please stop.
My dad was entirely the opposite. For starters, Dad taught us when we saw a pretty woman walking in the street, we'd have to shout crumpet out the window.
No, that's right.
So unacceptable.
So misogynistic. We had to do that.
No wonder you're gay.
Quite. So look, crumpet, like the Marks Spencer car park in Hedge End in Southampton. Or he goes, we'd go in a disabled badge parking lot and Dad would be like, limp, you have to.
No.
And so we would have to limp. To pretend that your dad no one's going to stop a disabled child.
Your dad does have a disabled badge.
He does now. He's nearly 80.
Can we just talk about the fact that your father just used to ensue a car chase when he saw a kid doing something wrong?
A car chase. Full-blown.
That's so bad.
He saw kids setting fire to a bottle bin.
Right.
And we chased them. We chased them. He phoned the police. We chased them. There was this one time where cyclists flipped my dad off. Dad was in the car. And he sped past the cyclist, stopped in the middle of the road, got out of the car and just waited for this cyclist to catch up to him, grabbed hold of his handlebars and just wouldn't let this guy go. He was like, what do you say to me? and made this guy apologize.
Your dad sounds really scary.
Your dad's terrified.
Do you know, if you meet him, he's not actually. He's a
he gets all his anger out on just random people.
He doesn't like injustice, and I am the same.
But there's like you can't just go vigilante.
Yes. See, this is what I've been told off for, because it's like safety first, and I don't always think about safety first.
No. Well, we're now going to see your father in a kind of argument with Just Stop Oil in the next couple of weeks. It'll go everywhere.
Yeah. It will.
It'd be amazing.
For anybody that knows my dad, they'll totally relate to this. Guys, we're nearly at the end of the podcast. Thank you for coming on. Just before you go, if there's any like advice to anybody out there that might be going through like the surrogacy journey, same as you guys, like, is there anything you'd like suggest them to help them on the journey?
I must say, my top bit of advice for that would be, one, if you know anyone else who's gone through it personally, just speak to them, because there's so much grey areas out there for like the actual knowledge that's available through companies is very expensive, very difficult to actually garner what's relevant. And then also like communities, like on Facebook groups or things like that, and just talk to people who have actually done it. I would not necessarily initially go to a company first for the information on surrogacy, because it's expensive and also a bit misleading.
America's probably the easiest place to do it, but it's also the most expensive place to do it. There isn't in between, which I would say Cyprus, where you can get more of a package deal in Cyprus.
A bit cheaper for
and
people.
It is better. And that's the northern side. That's the Turkish side.
Right.
Weirdly, the southern side, which is the Greek side, doesn't let you.
Oh.
But the Turkish side does, which is just a bit confusing for everyone.
It's a European thing.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
Bonkers.
But I just think if you like, and so many people have gone through it, like we speak to people on social media and stuff like that, and a few people reached out that we've helped. And it's because people have been through it and it's been hard, I think people who have done that are only more willing to impart their knowledge onto other people. So 100% just ask other people.
And also, you can, if you want to be a surrogate, it is presently illegal to solicit or to advertise to be a surrogate in Britain. So talk to people in that area. There are agencies you can go to and stuff like that if you want to be a surrogate. And you can do it legally up to 52 years old.
Oh, wow.
As long as you're still menstruating, then you can be a surrogate, basically. So there's a lot of people that, because obviously, remember, it's not your eggs.
Yeah, of course.
And
of course.
So basically, as long as the system is still working there, then you can be a surrogate.
As long as your little oven is still cooking.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You boys. It's been so lovely having you.
We love you.
I love having my friends on. It's really nice.
It's been fun to chat. This is a nice way to wake up, isn't it?
There's not many people in the world that we would come this far and this early for.
Oh my gosh, I've not even said. I can't believe I've forgotten your podcast.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, no, that's what I was about to say. We're actually going after this to go and do an episode of our podcast.
Just tell me really quickly about your podcast.
So we have a podcast called Newly Dads, which is with Jamie Lang's company, which is kind of the newlyweds and all that kind of stuff, a group umbrella. We've got Newly Dads, and basically it's for those 4 a.m. feeds when you're really tired and you want a laugh.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's terribly difficult, and we go through everything and we talk about everything. We have loads of wonderful people on. We've got Lawrence Lewis-Byrne later on talking about nurseries and all that kind of stuff. But we've got some really funny stuff. It's basically our experiences, but all the ridiculous stuff and stories from the past, etc.
I think everyone will find it relevant, because basically it's when you're a new parent and how your life changes, and it's the dynamic between us, and it's what it is to be a new parent, and how your life was and how it is now, and how you still keep a bit of what your life was, and how you do the best for your children and all of that.
Also, I break all the rules when it goes to it. I always open a bottle of wine.
I love a rule breaker. That's why I love you all.
If it's true, I open wine, and generally we'll record it 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. And
I'm sorry, I only offered you
opening.
Water.
No, that's fine. No, it's a bit early right now.
We've got 11:30.
We've got drinks from Nicole Scherzinger in 5 hours, so we've got
stop.
To do it slightly.
Name dropping. There it goes.
That's one of the things we have to sweep up off the floor after our podcast is Ollie's name dropping.
That's just true.
But I think it's basically our therapy, isn't it, for the week?
Yeah.
We go to the studio and we have 3 hours and we do that, and it's just wonderful just to sit there and have a chat. Like, this has been wonderful just to have a chat like this, because it's a bit like, you know, we're all parents, and it's kind of like...
It's therapy. It is therapy. And it's lovely to hear it from two dads' perspectives as well, which there isn't much of that around.
Not hugely.
So well done. Well done for jumping on that.
Thanks very much.
What a USP.
What a USP. Anyway, boys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Love you too, guys.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.